Thank you for listening to the Impact Leaders Podcast, featuring leaders in sustainable and impact investment, sharing their stories, experiences, and advice to increase awareness and highlight best practices in order to help us transition more capital into the industry faster. I am grateful that you're choosing to invest your time to listen to our guests, since I know that you're going to feel encouraged and inspired. I am JP Dalman, founder and CEO of ILM Partners, and we're the proud sponsors of the podcast. ILM Partners is an advisory and soon-to-launch multi-asset management firm targeting to acquire and scale investment funds focused on sustainability and impact, one of the fastest-growing areas of investment management globally, enabling investors to generate returns with confidence whilst having a net positive impact in the world. Our mission is to facilitate and accelerate the transition of $5 billion of capital to sustainable impact investing in the next 5 years. If you would like to explore the opportunity of working together, email contact@ilmpartners.com for an introductory and confidential conversation. Your support means everything to us, since it's what really keeps us going. So make sure you share our work with someone that will benefit from it. Please remember to subscribe to get the notifications and check the notes from each episode. We hope you enjoy today's special conversation. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Impact Leaders. I hope everyone is very well, keeping healthy and safe. I'm very excited about today's episode as we continue on our current series called The Sustainable Investment Dilemma, looking into how industries can help address the climate and social crisis, in particular the financial industry, taking on this great opportunity to find and fund solutions we need for a sustainable future. And in order to do that, we have one more special guest today for you, dear listeners, and that is Marie Poole. Hello, Marie.
Hi.
Hello, and welcome. And thank you so much for joining me today. You are in Geneva today?
Yes, I'm in Geneva.
Perfect. And I am traveling around a little bit these days again. So we actually met with Marie a couple of weeks ago in her offices, and she was very, very nice to me. And I thought that we should definitely record this episode, this conversation together, for what you're going to see, which is the focus today will be on measuring impact, or impact measurement, as you know, people talk about, and related subjects. So, you know, looking at these challenges and opportunities that it creates. And obviously, with your great experience, I know that listeners will find the tremendous value. So appreciate you being with us, Marie.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
My pleasure. And as an introduction, I will read the very short bio for you, our listeners. Marie is head of impact management at Bamboo Capital Partners, and she's passionate about social innovation and helping organizations improve their impact. And prior to joining Bamboo, she worked in CSR, corporate social responsibility, within two multinational companies in France and in the US. And she worked as well in sustainability consulting, supporting companies in the design of the strategies and projects related to social and environmental sustainability, and in microfinance with an international NGO in France and an MFI in India. And she holds, for background as well, which is always good to know, she holds a Master of Science in Business Administration from ESSEC Business School, where she majored in social entrepreneurship. And her thesis, you know, focused on companies based off the pyramid strategies and their impact on informal economy and low and middle income countries. And as you can tell, she's been doing a lot of things, very, very intelligent person. And for that, she speaks French, English, and Espanol. So quite a short but very full background, Marie. Anything I missed or anything I should add?
No, thank you. It was a very complete picture.
I like it. Thank you. So let's jump into it straight away. So as you may know by now, in our first question always is, you know, what is sustainable and impact investing, Marie, to you?
Thank you very much. So for us, impact investing is really to invest with the goal of generating positive social or environmental impact together with a financial return. So it's very important to have the two sides. And there are different impact tests for each of the fund that Bamboo manages. Mm-hmm. But we have a specific positioning at Bamboo on investing in developing countries, in companies that have a positive impact on low-income populations, and I can develop this further.
Yes, by all means. So it's a very specific focus, and then always the combination of return and impact. That's what I hear, right? And I think we will be talking about, you know, a few other points around Bamboo as well, and some of the sector focus, and also there have been some changes in the recent year or so, improvement, I would say. So it'd be interesting. And then I know that you mentioned offline before as well about impact and ESG. So anything you want to share, maybe to start with, in terms of, you know, impact investment and ESG investment, which is kind of sometimes more known to people?
Definitely. So ESG is something different, slightly different than impact. ESG is more referring to including various approaches to include ESG criteria into the investment decision and monitoring. So ESG is for environmental, social and governance criteria. And the various approaches for ESG can be to apply exclusions, so to not invest in some sectors that are considered as harmful. But it can also be to have a risk assessment approach and to do a ESG screening in order to assess the ESG risk within the company and to not invest in those that are risky from this point. Mm-hmm. And another approach could be to invest only in the best-in-class companies that have a strong ESG performance based on environmental, social, and governance criteria. And for us, impact investing is slightly different because our investment, we aim to generate a positive impact. And this positive impact can be to generate revenues for smallholder farmers or to improve financial inclusion or those type of impact thematics. And it's not incompatible with an ESG approach. At Bamboo, we have also an ESG approach, and we do an ESG screening of the companies. And what we do is that from the start, we exclude some sectors. So we have the exclusion approach. Then we do also an ESG screening. So before investing into any company, we will do a due diligence where we will look at the environmental, social and governance practices of the company. And we will not invest if there is a high risk from this standpoint. However, we don't have the approach of investing into the best in class from an ESG standpoint. We have an approach to invest into impact companies because you can end up with a lot of ESG questions and criteria with companies that would be scored as being good performing companies because they have the environmental policies, they have the social policies, they have good governance practices, but in the end, they won't serve your impact thesis. So for us, if the company is not serving the impact thesis of the fund, for instance, to improve the living condition of smallholder farmers or to improve financial inclusion for low-income population, if the company doesn't meet those impact thesis that we have defined for each of our fund, we won't invest. So the approach is slightly different here.
And we will definitely maybe go into more detail on some of that when we come to the measurements kind of section of the conversation. But is maybe the one point that you mentioned, so ESG, for those that did not know yet, it stands for environmental, social and governance. And then the fact that it's very interesting because if people that do not know the type of investments that you make and the type of companies you work with, for anyone that knows anything about ESG and metrics, you would, I think anyone would assume that, you know, they're so far away from having an ESG report, right, as such. So the fact what I hear is that you actually have specific questions that help, you know, the potential investees from the fund to be able to provide you with that information. Is that, yeah?
Exactly. So we look at two components. One is to deliver positive impact.
Okay, wait, save that one for a second.
Yeah, yeah. And the other one is to prevent the risk of negative impact. And that's where we use an ESG approach.
Right, okay. So if we quickly, just for context as well, for people to help them about Bamboo, but if listeners want to also learn more, you know, I will read kind of a very short introduction, but we did do another episode where it feels like years ago now, but episode 37 with one of your managing partners, Florian Kemmerich, and people can read an article I wrote on Forbes where, you know, I cover kind of the funding solutions, and I also cover a little bit about Bamboo and what you're doing. But for the benefits of those listening right now, let me just share some key points. Bamboo Capital Partners is an impact investing platform which provides innovative financing solutions to businesses in emerging markets. Marie mentioned some of it, serving, like she said, the needs of low and middle income populations, catalyzing lasting impact. And they bridge the gap between seed and growth stage funding through a full suite of finance options from debt to equity, which they actively, I would say, unilaterally and through strategic partnerships. That's how they do. And you'll see, and we'll mention maybe some of those. And one of those partners is Palladium, a global impact firm with operations in 90 countries, which kind of took place in terms of coming together in, I think it was around September 2020, if I got the advice correctly, where Palladium kind of bought a stake in Bamboo Capital Partners. And obviously, you know, with the capabilities now, looking at the scaling, you know, the great work that you've been doing for, well, if we talk about Jean-Philippe Descrevel, you know, your founder, you know, his work that I mentioned before, he's been doing for, I think it's over 30 years now, but it's a great way to leverage, you know, all the efforts to date. And you also use, you know, I won't cover too much about Palladium, but people can actually, I put a link to some of the news around the partnership as well, so people can learn about it. But you have a kind of great, great capabilities now as well to, scale, you know, everything that, the great things that you're doing. So let me pause there for a second. Anything that I should add about Bamboo?
No, I think you covered it all. Indeed, our founder, Jean-Philippe Descrevel, has pretty much 20 years now of experience in impact investment. He also co-founded Blue Orchard prior to launching Bamboo. And he launched Bamboo with the vision to do private equity for impactful companies in the missing middle, those that are too big for microfinance, but still too small for commercial funding. And he had this vision at the time when the microfinance sector was developing, to really develop an offer to invest in private equity into microfinance institutions. And then progressively, Bamboo has diversified its portfolio and we have explored other sectors. And I can develop this further, but it all started with a financial inclusion at the beginning.
Yes. But please, everything that you want to share about, you know, Bamboo, and I think you have now invested in over 30 developing countries. You have a team of, is it 30 professionals as well?
Yes.
Across Europe, LATAM, Africa, Asia. You have offices, you know, across, you know, the different continents as well, right? So it's it's still a small team from just a Bamboo perspective. You know, you do have a real footprint and presence.
Definitely. We have basically offices in the three continents where we are investing, one in Bogota for Latin America, one in Nairobi for Africa, and in Singapore for Asia, in addition to our two offices in Europe, in Luxembourg and Switzerland.
Yeah. And in terms of kind of your impact investing strategy, and you mentioned about, you know, the missing middle, and obviously, you know, you have also a kind of a focus on technology, right? And then, you know, but you are continuously exploring. And when we talk about maybe the clients, and maybe we can, you know, dovetail into the type of investments that you're making and the type of products that you have, but you are really innovating, you know, in terms of the areas, you know, not just the name of the funds for the sake of the names, but actually, as you mentioned, maybe to link it to the thesis that you mentioned before, you have very, very clear thesis, you know, with your funds. You know, I don't think I've seen many that are as specific in terms of what you're trying to achieve, which goes to starting with the name, but obviously there's a lot behind, and obviously you must be so busy with the measurement part of all of it. So I don't know if you wanted to maybe share with us some of the areas that you're focusing on, what you're looking right now, what you're looking for perhaps in the future. Maybe we can touch on a couple of examples as well if you want.
Sure, very happy to. So yes, we focus exclusively on emerging and frontier markets. And we finance SMEs that are part of the missing middle, those that are too large for microfinance, but too small for institutional investors. And we identify the segments where we see financing needs that are very high, but also a very high potential for social impact. And historically, we started with financial inclusion, and progressively we developed an expertise in other sectors, including solar energy, where we see a strong potential for development impact, as well as for positive environmental impact with the development of grid solar energy solutions. And we now have many investments in this area, and also some funds that we are managing that are dedicated to access to clean energy in developing countries. Another sector that we have invested in progressively is access to healthcare. Historically, Bamboo started investing in chains of private clinics or hospitals that are providing affordable healthcare services to low-income populations to complement the public offering. And we also explored some business models that were more focused on chains of pharmacies that were progressively also including medical services, all of this to provide affordable healthcare services to low-income populations. So this is also a sector that we have explored. And more recently, we launched the Agribusiness Fund, the ABC Fund, which is a mandate of IFAD, the International Fund for Agricultural Development. And this fund is a blended finance fund. And the impact thesis of the fund is to support smallholder farmers, primarily in Africa, but also other parts of the world. And with this new fund, we focus exclusively on small-scale farming. So this is another area of impact that we are very active in. And we have new funds under development with new impact thesis that we are exploring in partnership with other NGOs or UN agencies. So for instance, we are launching together with the NGO CARE and the International Trade Center, a fund that is focused on gender equality. And yes, we are working together with our partners that have a strong expertise in this area to develop investment approach to empower women through our investments. And we have defined various criteria for this fund in terms of how do we advance gender equality. So progressively with our new partners, we are also exploring new areas of impact. Bamboo historically was very much focused on social impact, but we are also now looking at potential funds dedicated to environmental solution as well. And nature-based solutions are an important and fast-growing segment of impact investing that we are currently exploring together with our strategic partner, Palladium Group, to invest in nature-based solutions, for instance, in the sustainable management of tropical forests. Mm. These are the new areas that we are exploring currently.
Yeah, fascinating. And I mean, I can mention so many of the actual funds as well for people to go and have a look at them. But, you know, from, I don't know if I go from top to bottom here, but from the beginning, I think with the Oasis in 2007, but then if I go to the list, you have the Heal Fund, which, you know, I think you touched on the medical side and the health part. And remind me again, which one is the one that is specific on gender, or is the gender across the gender lens?
Actually, we have one fund, the Kershi Trades Impact Fund, which is dedicated to gender equality. Yes. This fund is a partnership with the NGO CARE and the International Trade Center, and Bamboo is the fund manager of this one. So this one is fully dedicated to gender equality. However, we also have a gender lens through other funds, of course, and we have also worked on a climate lens that we apply across several funds. So we have some cross-cutting focuses on gender and climate that we apply across several of our funds. Just to name a few others, we have a fund that is a partnership with UNCDF, the United Nations Capital Development Fund. And this one has a geographic focus on least developed countries. So here the sectors are more diversified, although we have some specific target sectors, of course. Mm. But the approach is more on supporting SMEs in least developed countries. So some funds are very specific in terms of the geographies and others in terms of the impact area that we want to explore.
Yes, and I should have said to people, but it goes almost sometimes without saying, that you have to go and check out their website, where you're going to be able to find a lot of the detail. It's a fantastic website, which is bamboocp.com, right?
Yes.
and then you will be able to find, you know, the list. But we will also put the links for people to find them more easily. And we may even put some of the details, you know, as we have at the description of. It's very good because you can find all the description of the funds, you know, the partners, what you're focusing on. So it should, in principle, help those that are there looking to, you know, learn from you or to invest with you or to look for investment, right? Because you have such a variety, sometimes this question is more difficult to answer. But is there an average sweet spot in terms of, you know, if investees, you know, learn about you, companies that you're looking for in terms of size?
Yes, so it very much depends on the fund. We have different funds that have different positioning here, but what we are addressing is really the missing middle. And our ticket size can be quite low depending on the fund that we are talking about, but it can be as low as $250,000 up to $3-4 million. It really depends on the investment thesis of each fund.
Yeah. And again, I insist as well for people to note that there is equity and debt. So you have a mix as well. And we cover with, when we spoke with Florian about SDG 500 as well, which, you know, is again the partnership and the looking at, you know, the construction of the products in a way so that the risk gets spread around, which is, you know, pretty clever and a great way to bring different investors at different levels as well, right?
Absolutely. So historically, we were doing private equity investments, especially with the first financial inclusion fund that Bamboo has launched with a strong focus on microfinance. And then the Oasis fund that you mentioned, which was the exploratory fund that invested in several sectors, including access to healthcare, access to energy, access to education as well, in addition to access to finance. And we also developed another fund, a private equity fund for financial inclusion. Inclusion more recently with a focus on fintechs. And now what Bamboo is more focusing on are blended finance funds. So here with blended finance, the objective is to provide an offering to investors where you have different tranches, with the first tranche being the first close tranche of investors. And here we are targeting catalytic capital from either public actors or foundations or NGOs that are willing to provide capital to attract the private sector. And this first loss tranche of capital will help de-risk the investment of institutional investors in the senior tranche of the fund. So the objective is really to be able to channel more capital where it is highly needed and in geographies that are often perceived as too risky for institutional investors. And this blended finance structure provide an answer to this by providing protection to the senior tranche investors. And we really see this as the future of our funds. And this is what Bamboo is launching in partnership with several other partners, such as NGOs and UN entities. Our new generation of fund is really focused on this model.
And I think it's fantastic. I would say huge fan of, obviously, of Bamboo. I think full disclaimer there, but people that listen to me all the time, I've been talking about the great work that you do. But I think that innovative side and, you know, the bringing everyone together is the way forward, which, you know, we'll talk about when maybe talking about scaling all of this great impact. So if we dive into kind of identifying and measuring impact, right? So, you know, you mentioned right at the beginning the process, you know, the ESG part. I do recommend people to look at your process. You know, you have your kind of your pre-investment, your investment, your holding period, your divestment target, everything pretty well spelled out. And you have the ESG risk management piece that you mentioned. But I cannot help but wonder, a couple of questions that come to my mind. The amount of work that you do, right? The amount of funds that you have now. You know, still, if like I mentioned before, I think it's still a pretty, you know, lean team. And then you, Marie, leading on all things related to the impact that you do. How do you do it?
Yes.
How do you do this? Because it sounds like a lot of work. And then just definitely dig a little bit deeper into the detail, right? But maybe first, any thoughts or feelings?
Sure. So yes, my role at Bamboo is really to lead and to coordinate the impact management process and to design our impact policies and the impact framework for each of the funds that we manage. So this is really the first step. When we design a fund, we design also an impact framework, which includes a theory of change of the fund, the list of impact indicators that we will measure, the processes in terms of ESG screening to prevent any risk of negative impact, as we were mentioning earlier. And finally, when it's a private equity fund, we also have some guidelines on how do we exit the company, how do we do responsible exits. When it's a debt fund, it's a bit different because you don't have an exit. And all of these processes that are defined into the impact framework of the fund are also deployed with the investment team. So I'm not alone. The whole team at Bamboo is very involved on impact as well. And my role is to work with the investment teams for each fund to ensure that our impact management approach is deployed at each step of the investment life cycle. And we have some risk committees, of course, and investment committees where impact is an important decision aspect. We concretely include all the findings from our due diligences and the potential impact of any investment into each proposition that we submit to the investment committee. So really impact and ESG assessment is part of the investment decision for each of the investment that we do at Bamboo. And yes, this is something that is a shared responsibility with the investment teams as well. And for the new fund that we have developed, we work closely with our partners. So typically on the build fund in partnership with UNCDF, we work together with the UNCDF teams on defining the processes and the indicators that we will measure to report on our impact. It's a collaborative approach. Same for the Care Trades Impact Fund. We work very closely with the CARE NGO on defining the gender approach. And all of this partnership bring a lot of expertise as well. And we work very closely with our partners on impact management overall.
So what I hear there is kind of leveraging kind of resources of partners as well as the team.
Definitely.
And you have the investment teams, but then you also have kind of the local teams. Right. And you have, I think, if I remember correctly, as well, you do work with some NGOs specifically when it comes to maybe some of the data and some of the more specifics in terms of, you know, yeah.
Yes, so it really depends on how the fund is designed. And for some of the fund, we have a technical assistance facility. And for instance, with the ABC fund, this technical assistance facility is led by the NGO AgriTerra. And as part of the technical assistance, AgriTerra is helping us with the ESG risk assessment of the company before it is submitted to the investment committee. And during this ESG risk assessment, AgriTerra will also evaluate the needs for technical assistance. And if the investment is approved, technical assistance will also be delivered to the investee company based on the needs identified during the due diligence. And we really see this combination of, you know, providing financing together with technical assistance, a very positive mix and as something that is delivering a strong impact, because as an investor, you have limited ability to engage with the company and you cannot do consulting for the companies. So, of course, you can dialogue with the companies and provide guidance and help them straighten their processes. But if you want to go one step further and really implement some new programs, you need a technical assistance facility. And this is really part of the differentiating approach that we have with those new funds. And the ABC fund is focused on supporting companies that improve the lives of smallholder farmers. And by strengthening their capacities, we think we will have a multiplied impact on smallholder farmers through this financing and technical assistance intervention.
No, that's fascinating, because it's a great, if we call it, formula, right, in terms of, you know, bringing all the different parts. And you made a point there about, you know, how much can you actually get involved as an investment management firm into, you know, actually your role is not consulting, right? So to have those NGOs and those organizations like agriterra.org, for those that want to visit it, you can have a look and understand. It's very good for others, you know, to learn as well how to sometimes and to leverage local capabilities. So, and it's interesting because you mentioned about the impact framework, you know, the process, theory of change, which, you know, we more and more talk about so that people understand, you know, the impact indicators, the ESG screening, and also fascinating responsible exit. But even with those, it's interesting sometimes because do you have like a minimum target that you apply? And I was going to ask you from an investment management perspective, you know, around how do you create profit, performance, and impact? But then at the same time, and now we have spoken with many people about this, how do you do it so that you don't overwhelm the investee? And so that balance, anything that you can, any wisdom you can share with us?
Sure. Now, this is a key point, of course, because we invest only in companies that have a strong potential for positive impact. We want to be able to measure this impact. So we define a list of impact metrics that we report for each of the investments that we do. However, it's very important to not overburden the investee companies. And basically, for each of the funds that we manage, we have a list of impact metrics that we report on that are aligned with the investment objective of the fund. And then when we invest in a company, there is a dialogue at the time of investment with the investee to ensure that they are able to measure the metrics that we want to capture. And if not, we try to find some methodologies to estimate the metrics that are not available. For instance, if we invest in a company that provides solar home systems to off-grid communities, something important for us will be to, of course, measure the number of people that are getting access to electricity thanks to the services of the company, but also, if we can, to measure the CO2 emissions that are avoided thanks to the use of those solar systems instead of using other energy sources that are more polluting, such as traditionally kerosene or other types of energy sources that people use in off-grid settings. And most of the time, the companies will not be able to report on the CO2 emissions avoided directly, but they will be able to provide you with a lot of operational metrics such as number of products sold, how many kerosene lamps can be replaced with one solar home system as an estimate. And based on this, you are able to calculate an estimate of the CO2 emission avoided. So sometimes we try to find some methodologies to estimate the impact that you are not able to measure in real conditions. And it's very important for us to have this dialogue with the investee companies to really ensure that we can have a minimum list of indicators that are covered, but to also be able to have some flexibility in case they are not able to report all of them. And this is part of the day-to-day relationship with investee companies.
And now I can see as well in that example, it's a combination of you providing kind of the key data that you need, the technical assistant facility and the company, you know, and all working together and the partner in terms of, you know, potentially as well what they need when you are developing the framework, right? So I think I get it.
Absolutely. And the next step, once we have this regular reporting that is done at the company level, the next step for us is really to capture the data at the level of the end beneficiary. So typically, if we are investing in a company that works with smallholder farmers, we will collect on a regular basis many impact data related to what the company is able to report. For instance, how many smallholder farmers are supplying to the company? What are the surface under cultivation? What is the volume of production? What is the productivity? Those type of data. However, we may not be able to capture the voice of the smallholder farmers themselves. And this is the next step for us to be able to capture data at the level of the end user or the end client. And this is the most challenging part of it. And for this, we need to deploy questionnaires at the level of the end beneficiaries. So for instance, the smallholder farmers. And this is done with a third party. It's deep dive impact study. We cannot do that on a regular basis for all of our investments, but the idea is to do that for some of them and use the findings that we have to also have some estimation of the impact that we can have with those type of investments. And it's always a mix of the evidence that you can collect and the assumption that you take, and you try with those studies to validate the assumption that you have with evidence collected on the field. And this is this mix that we try to deploy as much as possible. There is a cost to these deep dive impact surveys. So we also need to have either technical assistance or a specific budget dedicated to this. It's not part of the regular impact reporting, but this is a necessary complement to the regular impact reporting. And I think the companies that are able to deploy those deep dive impact surveys are those that have a real interest in the impact that they are making for the end beneficiaries.
Yes. And maybe I should mention now as well, if people want to see in more detail how you report, you do have your annual reports, the Bamboo Impact Report. I think 2020 was made available just maybe not long ago, right? So people can go to, again, bamboocp.com/impact to have a look at that. Because, I mean, there you have so much detail in terms of, you know, everything that we're talking about and the different areas in tech for impact, financial inclusion, energy access. So you split it. And then on page 42, the whole impact management, which is, you know, everything that we're talking about here. So that people get a bit of a detailed playbook as well on the back of listening to you, which is fantastic.
Yes, there are many frameworks that exist. I think in this industry, the challenge is really to navigate all those frameworks that exist for impact management. At Bamboo, what we do as the basis for our impact measurement is to use at least the metrics from the IRIS Plus based. And we also look at some sector-specific standards. So typically in the off-grid energy industry, there is a standard from GOGLA, the Off-Grid Energy Association, which is providing an impact framework with default value that we can use and a lot of very helpful indicators. So based on the sector, there are in many cases some sector-specific guidelines. And we also use the IMP framework, the Impact Management Project Framework, the HIPSO indicators. And in terms of the guidelines for our impact measurement approach, what we think is a very good guiding reference is the operating principles for impact management. Mm. And this is something that is becoming really the most recognized principles for impact management. And we are a signatory of this initiative, and we think they are bringing great guidelines for the sector.
And thank you for the detail kind of breakdown. And I'll also say, we mentioned briefly, but while you do all of these, at the same time, you do focus on, I don't know if the right terminology is to say the conversion, but to show the impact on the SDG perspective as well, right? So if that wasn't enough, everything that you're doing and everything that you're using, at the same time, you know, you do have a way to show your contribution to the SDGs through Bamboo as a whole and the funds, right?
Yes, absolutely. So something interesting about the SDGs is that they have been defined for the states, and the SDGs are really including a lot of targets and also a lot of metrics that have been primarily designed for states. However, either provide proxies to some of these indicators that are more applicable to our investments. So for instance, if one target is to reach universal access to electricity, we will not be able to report on this, but we will be able to report on the number of people who get access to electricity with our investments. So we define metrics that are aligned with the SDGs, and we report on our impact with a breakdown on the SDGs that we address. Mm-hmm. However, for the person who would go to the SDG list of metrics, it would not exactly be the same. We have to adapt them a bit to the impact investment sector.
Again, I'm sure that people are going to be wondering, how do you manage to do all of this and bring everything together? It sounds like you cannot get it all done within a year almost, you know. Somehow you do.
It's a patient job.
Yeah.
And we have very dedicated teams at Bamboo. Yeah. Everyone is very committed to impact as well.
Yeah. And I think that, I talk about this a lot, right? So it's patience and consistency, right? So Bamboo hasn't been built in a day or a year, right? That's what we talked about before.
Definitely, we have learned a lot across the years. We have also been working with an ecosystem of partners that bring a lot of expertise as well, and we build upon their expertise as well. And the new funds in partnerships are really an example of this. And yes, this has been years of experience investing in several sectors with investment that work very well, some that work very well from an impact standpoint, but more challenging from a financial standpoint. But something that Bamboo has never done is a compromise on the impact. So all the investment that we have done had a stronger potential for a positive impact for low-income populations. And I think one of the challenges with the new funds that we have is that we work with entities like DFIs and actors that are used to applying very exigent standards. And for us, it's balance that we have to find between, you know, of course, aligning with all the standards that we are fitting into with our funds, but also being very flexible with the investing companies and not overburdening them and finding the right balance to apply those standards to SMEs in the least developed countries, for instance. And this is really something that our years of experience in those geographies and those investors' profile have built. And this is what we are doing on a day-to-day basis.
That takes me really nicely to a couple of questions, maybe to finish this section, right? Which is, if you're an investor and you're trying to kind of, okay, let me put it this way, you know, so, and it's interesting that you do relate, you know, a lot to the investment management team. Maybe, I don't know how much you get involved actually with the investor size. You know, you mentioned actually some of the investors you have are pretty much already in the sector, but let's hypothetically here talk about those that we are trying to help, I call it transition, you know, into sustainable and impact investing. You know, that some of them on one side don't even believe about that you can create, you know, profit and impact, or, you know, a return and impact. And some of those kind of now fast, at least, you know, from the mouth out, you know, trying to get into impact and sustainable investing. And I call sustainable investing beyond ESG all the time, you know, because I try to differentiate, you know, some of the real impact, as I call it sometimes, versus, you know, the different shades and the spectrum. But yeah, so you see, how, what is it that you think would be an advice, you know, for those that are trying to move into sustainable impact investing as investors?
Yeah, so I think the first step is really to define your ambition. What is the positioning that you want to have, and what is the impact ambition that you have? And to then define, you know, what will be the impact thesis of the fund that you want to design? Where do you want to invest? What type of criteria you want to apply to your investee companies? And of course, the higher you can be in terms of ambitions for impact, the better. And that's the positioning we have at Bamboo. But of course, we need all type of investment. ESG is very important as well. Impact investing is still quite a niche, and we have identified some areas where, you know, the whole impact investing industry could work to address some barriers to scale. And, you know, one of these key barriers that we have identified at Bamboo with the years is really that there is a need for liquidity, and the type of impact investment opportunity that are currently offered on the market, there is usually a need for a relatively long-term investment horizon. And many investors want high liquidity. Also, a key point that we have seen is that many of our investments have small ticket size, and that brings the difficulty that there is quite a cost to making such investments. And also, the total size of the funds that we are managing can be seen as quite low for some investors, and therefore not attractive to institutional investors. And so at Bamboo, the way we seek to counter those challenges is to, first of all, develop blended finance mechanisms that are de-risking the private sector investment with the first plus tranche of public or philanthropic nature. And we also work on developing some aggregation mechanism of several funds to allow some scale to be more attractive to institutional investors that would not be looking at small funds. And something that we are also trying to develop is flexible notes issuance programs with tailor-made maturities to better match the needs of investors. So these are the lessons learned with the years of experience that Bamboo has in the impact investing industries. And we hope that in the future, this will help mainstreaming impact investments. And we believe it will.
Yes. And thank you so much, because you kind of went straight into kind of the future and how we scale it, right? And definitely this challenges around the barriers, the liquidity, and then a very good point about the flexible notes, I think you mentioned, right? How to adapt to match investors, you know, that could unlock a lot of the potential. So, yeah, so thank you very much for that. And then maybe to wrap up this question, right? So I actually had two that came to mind because I picked up on the report about, you know, investing in COVID time, right? And 2020, obviously, you know, your report. I had the blessing of attending the ILIA Foundation dinner a couple of weeks ago in Zurich, and they had a couple of the investees, companies, you know, presenting. And it shouldn't come as a surprise, but it's sometimes when you hear the actual entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs, they're the proper companies, right? And the challenges they have had to face because of COVID have been immense, right? And needs for pivoting and needs for, some have been opportunities, for many or most have been, you know, a real problem. Anything that you can share, perhaps a little window into, you know, what you saw in terms of the impact or for better or for worse?
Definitely. So Bamboo has the positioning of financing SMEs. So definitely the COVID crisis had an impact on many SMEs. And in most of the target countries where we invest, SMEs are really the backbone of the economy. So we think that providing the liquidity needed to those SMEs in times of COVID was really a key intervention to cushion the impact of the COVID crisis, especially during the last year. So what we have done at Bamboo was also to work together with the impact investing industry. And we joined an initiative of a group of impact investors to agree on some guiding principles to protect microfinance institutions and their clients in times of COVID. And we have shared information with those impact investors to ensure that the liquidity needs are addressed. And I think the industry as a whole has collaborated very much during the COVID crisis. And we are currently quite attentive as well to the equity needs of the companies, because during the first months of the crisis, it was more a question about providing liquidity, but now it's also very much the next step of ensuring that the needs for equity capital are also addressed. And this is also something that Bamboo is looking at very closely, in alignment, of course, with the impact thesis of each of our funds. So yes, it's been a challenging year also for Bamboo in terms of our operations on the field, typically to do the due diligence process. Sometimes we had to operate remotely, and it's been a year of challenges. However, in these times of challenges, it was very important to be able to provide impact capital to where the needs were the highest.
Yeah.
So definitely.
And thank you so much for saying exactly what you just said, because that is maybe what a lot of people don't realize, that in many of these countries where you operate, you know, governments do not have the funding that perhaps, you know, governments in Switzerland, in the UK, you know, have. And therefore, you know, private investors like yourselves have actually stepped up. And the same is what I saw when I was at that dinner with ILIA, that is, the investors just go behind and just support their investees, companies, through extremely tough times. So I salute you, and I salute anyone that is helping, you know, developing countries and SMEs. So thank you. One quick thing that I wanted to share, one quick point, and I will share this article as well, is you have a kind of SDG-focused impact at scale, targeting $1 billion by 2023. Again, just so that people get an idea, you know, that you do have great ambitions, and obviously, you know, very specific targets as well in terms of what you want to achieve. So you're definitely trying to scale.
Absolutely. No, and we also have this new partnership with Palladium that we will leverage to raise more capital for impact investing opportunities. And we are starting to collaborate very closely with Palladium on potential new funds. And really, this is we have an ambitious target, but with also this partnership with Palladium, we aim to reach this ambition in the next years.
Yes. And we haven't spoken about that, but that's kind of what we're also trying to help with ILM partners and, you know, the work with Bamboo, to try to bring more capital and more partners with, you know, also kind of a larger pocket sometimes, you know, to try to build again on the great things that you're doing. One very contentious, perhaps, I know that we can talk a lot about this, but something that we don't talk maybe enough about is this kind of greenwashing and impact washing. So today I had a call with the client and saying to me, well, I had about three different pitches today just on sustainable funds, impact funds, you know, being launched in different regions, and, you know, I don't know what to look at, and everyone. And it kind of links also to the regulation, SFDR, in, at least in Europe, in terms of trying to get better standards of reporting, which very much, you know, is down your street. But what do we watch out for in terms of trying to understand what is greenwashing, impact washing, and how potentially as an investor, you know, we don't fall victim of people, as I say sometimes, it's being sold something dressed as impact or green, right?
Absolutely. No, definitely there is a need for more transparency in terms of what's the real impact that the funds are delivering. The SFDR regulation that you mentioned is really a first step, because with this new regulation in Europe, there is now a disclosure obligation for funds that say they have a sustainability objective to disclose how this objective is deployed in terms of process. How do you assess potential sustainability risk? How do you manage them, and how do you report on the progress that you are achieving with your investments? So this is really the first step. However, maybe it doesn't go far enough yet. This regulation is more focused on sustainability risk. The good thing is that everyone has an obligation in Europe to comply with this regulation. So it's not only the impact funds, but it's the whole financial sector. And you have more visibility, I think, as an investor, because you have those funds that fit into some categories of the regulation, Article 8, Article 9 funds. So you, I think it helps investors also to really understand what are the funds that include some components related to environmental or social matters, and those that really have an objective of being a sustainable investment vehicle. However, to go one step further, I think there would be a need to report more on the positive impacts. This regulation helps you disclose information related to the risk, but for the positive impact that you generate, there is still a need for more harmonization in the sector, definitely. And I think the operating principles for impact management that IFC has launched are a good first step. It's not a regulation, but it's more guidelines for the industry, but there are so many signatories currently, and I think it's something that is having a positive impact in creating also transparency and pushing impact investing funds to disclose how they align with those principles. So I'm confident that this principle will help bring transparency as well. And if a regulation could also push those funds to report even further on those aspects, it would be fantastic. But definitely SFDR is really a first step in this direction.
If I link it to what you mentioned before in terms of the advice to investors, then the only way that you as an investor benefit from, you know, the transparency, the disclosure, the processes, the assessment of sustainability risk, you know, the progress, right, is by having that impact ambition, you know, to focus on where to invest, to have that criteria to apply to, in this case, you know, the funds that you want to invest in, and to have your, that, as you say, the, you know, the higher ambition for impact, you know, for the better, right? So, because
in addition to preventing the risk of negative impact, because this is really the basis. Even if you deliver positive impact, but you yes. end up investing in a company that has a problem related to child labor or anything, yes. It's a no-go.
I do talk a lot about kind of net positive impact, right? So
exactly.
trying to understand the plus and the minuses, and just making sure that obviously the minus doesn't include child labor. That would be definitely a no, but that in total you understand both sides of the formula. Because, you know, the thing about this is that it's nice and how you put it so simple in terms of understanding the parts, because if you go into all sorts of conversations, and it's a lot in the news, you know, about greenwashing and, you know, the risks, you know, ESG investing is risky from an impact perspective, because, you know, people use example of some corporates that are very good ESG ratings, but they're still working on sectors that are not potentially the best sectors for people. So it becomes very confusing, you know, what is this greenwashing? What is this impact washing? But I think if I had to, from what I hear that you're sharing with me today, is that if I understand the concept of net impact, if I understand exactly what change I'm trying to create, what impact I'm trying to have positively, then with that first, and then with the transparency, again, I'm just trying to simplify for now, it should be I don't know if the word is slightly easier, but at least better for investors to understand or not to be missold in this case, which I can see this as one of the next potential problems in the future. Have you been sold? Have you been missold impact investing, you know?
Yes, and we think it's important, you know, to have both approaches. We are not saying that ESG is not good. I mean, as you said, yes, large corporation can end up with very high score in ESG ratings. If we want to reach the SDGs, we think that, you know, everyone needs to be involved. So we are not saying that there is no reason for large corporation to not be involved in those objectives. However, it's true that there is a difference between, you know, having a good ESG score and doing impact investing. And for us, we have a very also a niche definition of our impact positioning, which is to provide positive impacts through product and services to low-income populations. This is really the positioning that Bamboo has had since the beginning. But yes, this is an approach, and there are other approaches also delivering positive impact. And if those large companies can also work on, you know, improving some elements related to environmental and social impact, this is very welcome as well, for sure.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for that. And that brings me to like the last few questions to finish, Marie. And it's interesting because you have been on that side as well, right, on the corporate side. So how the about you part, which we talked about, so how did you end up doing all of this? Because, you know, you had quite a journey, right? And you have a bit of this, every side of the story by the sounds of it. Anything that you can share with us? What started it all, maybe ignited, and then any advice for anyone that wants to follow your steps?
Sure. So yes, on my end, I have background in social entrepreneurship. So at the beginning, you know, my education background is more focused on the social entrepreneurship, but I have also explored the corporate social responsibility. And I was very interested in how those large corporations can also improve their practices and deliver positive impact for various stakeholders. And yes, it's been a nice journey. And I think there is no, you know, just one path to impact investing. I see a lot of colleagues as well that come from more traditional banking backgrounds and that join impact investment companies after a career in financial services with no impact focus at the beginning. And I think it's very important that we have, you know, different talents coming from different careers paths. And this is really interesting to join forces. And at Bamboo, we have an amazing team of people coming from very different backgrounds. And I think this is what makes us very strong as well.
Great. And on that point, what is, you know, because you have worked with, obviously, with people in the Bamboo team you just mentioned, but then also obviously seeing all these amazing companies around the world, what do you think it makes an impact leader?
So I think those that are real impact leaders are those that will have a genuine interest in listening to the end user or the end beneficiaries. And this is why I was saying it's very important for us to go one step further, because we are conscious of the limits of our impact measurement currently. And what we really want is to see positive change for the end beneficiaries. So I think those that really want to measure and to capture the changes that they generate for the end beneficiaries are really those that are doing a, you know, positive change. And this is why at Bamboo we have this stronger focus on really measuring the impact that we have for low income populations in the end.
Yeah, brilliant. And in a way, you know, that is what the Impact Leaders podcast is about. I was telling you just before we started, right? It's about the listener and beneficiary of listening to people like Marie and others on this industry. So I appreciate that. And any last call to action for the listeners?
Yeah, so I really think something important for the industry is to work in partnership, not in silos. So I'm pretty confident that, you know, impact investing will continue to grow and become part of the mainstream ecosystem, and that there is no way back for us. But we really think it would be important to work in partnership with different worlds, and especially public-private partnerships. We see a lot of international NGOs and UN agencies that are really seeking to join forces forces with the private sector. And we see this as a great development, and all parties will bring complementary capabilities. We think this is really the way to go. And what we also think will be important in the future will be to invest in technologies. And we think this is really a way to deliver impact and affordable business models in various sectors such as finance, healthcare, education, agribusiness, energy. So we are very positive and optimistic about the use of technologies in these sectors. And we hope that in the future, we'll be able to deliver a lot of positive impact with investment in tech-enabled business models.
Fantastic, fantastic. And if anyone wants to contact you, Marie, is there a preferred way? Do you prefer LinkedIn or email or...
That works. LinkedIn, email, it's marie@bambooCP.com. Anyways, is welcome.
Perfect. Well, thank you so, so much, Marie. Really, really appreciate you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
That was fantastic.
It was a pleasure.
So before I go, I just wanted to take an opportunity to invite you all listening to partner with me, Impact Leaders and ILM Partners. We want to help and do more to raise awareness and create action. The podcast is one of the catalytic initiatives to help deliver on our mission to raise awareness, to help transition capital into sustainable impact investing faster and at scale. And that's, I'm sure that today you picked up a few points on that. And also we're looking for 10 impact leaders interested to join the program I just launched this year. So please book a call using the link on the notes or go to bit.ly/ILP30SB. And we are looking for founder sponsors to support our mission to transition capital. So please reach out directly to me or by our contact us page at ilmpartners.com. So it is bye for now, but until our next episode of Impact Leaders, and God bless you all. Thank you again, Marie. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Impact Leaders. Impact Leaders is brought to you by ILA and Partners. Please connect with us to work together in the transition of capital into sustainable and impact investing.